Hey guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. If you want to support the show, visit us at patreon.com, and for as little as $1 a month, you can become a patron. Or you can buy cool Lorehammer products like shirts, coffee mugs, and dice bags at www.redbubble.com. Don't want to spend any money? Well, you can help out the show by giving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also hop on over to Facebook and like our page, and feel free to send us a message. It's the only enjoyment Mark gets out of his miserable life.
Hello and welcome back to Lorehammer Lockdown. My name is Eric.
Hello, Eric.
Joining us today is like, can we just, Dylan.
No, don't introduce him because then he just gets loud. Oh, God.
Okay, guys.
Wow, that was
self-control.
How are we doing? You're having me back.
Was not expecting that out of you. Holy.
Thanks, man. I just wanted to switch it up a little bit, you know? Reset the fans' expectations. Just try to bring something new to the podcast.
You still are bringing that super high energy, though. So let's dial that down to a 3.
Well, it takes a super high guy to bring a super high energy, Mark. Maybe you should take a leaf out of my book, huh? What do you
like
want today?
Marijuana?
What? I get it. Nice pun. Good shit, guys. So I do have a question for you. We did talk about this last time.
Uh-huh.
What the fuck is the spread? I'm hungry.
Oh, you want food?
Oh, food?
Yeah, no, Lorehammer doesn't cater.
I expected a little more gold plating on these slippers. The slippers touch is nice, but you know what? Just a little more show of the money, you know. I thought
we don't have any money.
There is no money
Dylan,
to be
you
had.
Have honestly, now made more money off Lorehammer than me and Eric have.
I am a really important guest, and I don't feel that. I feel like you should treat me with a little more respect.
You are a one of a kind guest.
Yeah. And should
absolutely.
Be paid as such.
Well, we do pay you.
Yeah, we paid you way more than you were.
We text you back.
That's pretty considerate. I mean, it's more than most people most of the time.
Exactly. Well, for you, I get it.
Like, generally, just send pages of text and then it's one word answers. I don't get it.
K.
I know what I'm doing wrong.
Yeah. Sure.
So you communicate with your girlfriend or your mom, one of the two.
I've had to have talks with people before about my lack of response when it comes to texts.
Uh-huh. Who's the other side of that?
Amoy. She was like one of my best friends growing up through like junior high and high school.
Yeah.
And she was like, all right, Eric, like we're going to sit down and chat. So like we went out for like a coffee. And she's like, look, if you want to still be friends, it's cool, but you need to give me more than yes 3 days after I send a wall of text. And I was like, all right.
Do you know how to type?
That's what you said in real life. You're just like, all right.
Yeah, I said, makes sense.
You look at your watch for 3 seconds and you're,
yes.
Exactly. Is that better than 3 days?
Yeah. See, I'm getting better.
No, for sure.
So on this episode of Lorehammer Lockdown, we're just going to be shooting the shit with Dylan.
Fuck.
This episode is actually brought to you by a Mr. Cookie. And on our Discord, he goes by Cookie Fart. He actually is like, yeah, I really like that Dylan guy. He never gave any reason. So I'm actually I'm considering thinking that it's actually Dylan putting on a
absolutely. Yeah.
I gave you money to get back on the podcast.
Yeah.
Cookie was my alias. Cookie, who the fuck you are? You're crazy, man. I've been bottled up at home not knowing what to do. And you gave me something to do, man. Much appreciated.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. So yeah, he messaged and he's like, yeah, I really like that Dylan guy. I'd love to hear him on for another lockdown. And then he's like, yeah, I'll give you $270. I'm like, okay, I would have taken $22, you know?
Like, yeah. Like, you oversold yourself.
Yeah.
A little hard there.
We need a serious conversation about my value and what exactly it is bring. That incentivizes.
What do you bring,
what
Dylan?
Do you bring?
That incentivizes listeners to come back to the podcast.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Tell us.
I bring opportunity. Uh-huh. I bring motivation. Uh-huh. I bring a reason to get up in the morning when I'm on these podcasts.
So you've given me 3 reasons. Yeah. You give us the opportunity. You do. You give us the opportunity to mute the headphones so we don't go deaf.
You touch those levels once, I'm going to fuck you up, Barry.
Then you said motivation. You motivate me to turn off podcasts.
I mean...
And then third, was it a reason to live? You give me a reason to live so I can make sure that no further Australians ever
leave
get to leave Australia.
Yeah.
Those are the three things you've given me.
Well, I'm glad I've solidified that, but I'm the sneaky one that caught in, so I'm here to stay. But
someone said you bring mostly STDs.
I mean, yeah, you got to share around, right?
So this is something we're doing too on this episode. We do have Instagram Live going. So like Eric just read something.
Yeah, I'm reading a couple of comments.
Just so you guys don't think Eric's lost his mind. He's like, somebody just said. It's like,
yeah. No, I'm hearing things.
There's a crowd of people outside of the studio.
Someone said Dylan's the ear candy.
The ear candy. What does that mean?
It's like eye candy, you know? Like, you love to look at it.
Yeah.
Like, well, you love to listen.
Well, I'm also eye candy, so it's a double combination.
Also, your finger candy.
I'm highly attractive, highly listenable,
Your body candy. Like, what kind of candy
going,
are
keep
you
keep
not?
Going,
okay,
keep going, keep going.
Your smell candy, your taste good. Candy, 100%.
Okay, you can stuff that.
What
other senses are
candy.
There? Ooh, salty candy salty or can. Salted candy?
Yeah, well, either or, you know. Either way, the outcome is a sour face.
Yeah. So, but I think we set the standard. We now know what my
puckered lips is. That what it is?
Yeah. Per episode, I think we know what my rate is now.
What is
and,
it?
It's 270. The value's been set. And
No.
And you know, if you want to get me on again, I think it might have to be 3. You know, just in case. But you know what? These listeners, they're pretty good. So you know, if you want to hear me back on, just send us money. That's
simple.
A really effective way to get me back on a podcast. If you're enjoying the content we're providing, especially me, because I'm losing my shit at home. So please bring me back on and send me grocery money. Hell yeah.
I promise you that some of the money will actually even reach Dylan, if that's what you guys are into.
I mean, it takes a couple of broken bones.
I'm not saying percentages, but I'm saying some of it will
all
reach
right.
him.
I do have to address this question, though, that someone just asked on Instagram Live. They said, is Jordan securely chained to the radiator in the basement? Has he been fed? And then someone said,
oh, shit, I haven't fed him in weeks, have you?
I haven't fed him.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
It's Corona. What are you?
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah.
And someone said, is he still abroad? And that was another person.
No, Jordan... came back and he was on a couple episodes with us, but he's kind of really undertaken his own project with Star-Lore. So just for...
He's still a part of Lorehammer.
Yeah, he's still doing our editing and he'll still be on the occasional episode here and there when we think it's...
Yeah,
like
he gets first choice.
Yeah, when he's
he started
like
this
shy.
With us.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah. So, but yeah.
Also a complete traitor, but we won't go into that.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
He started a Star Wars podcast and we've never truly recovered from the abandonment and betrayal that
and he took all our fans with us or with him, I mean every last one of them.
We got nothing left here.
It's not really comparable. Jedi to Space Marines. Oh. Jedi, cool, but Space Marines is fucking
who would
Space
win
Marine,
oh, God.
In a battle.
Okay.
Would it be a Jedi or a Space Marine? Who would actually win
Space Marine.
Space Marine is a Jedi in plate armor, right?
Well, I'm not talking... No librarian powers. Just a standard Bolter Battle Brother, Bolter-wielding Space Marine.
Yeah, Space Marine every time.
Why? Why do you think so?
Because he's got a rapid-fire missile launcher.
They can dodge... They have precog powers.
Okay.
Jedi. They can dodge bullets. They can literally create force fields around themselves that block them.
Is there a Star Wars equivalent? That maybe a Jedi has a fort in a movie or something. Like I don't know, Jedi's basically like a wizard, right? You got magic.
The hard thing is that every Jedi has magic, and not every Space Marine has magic.
Doesn't matter when you got a fully
automatic.
Do you
really think that?
Absolutely.
I don't think so.
They're, even if they get close, so cut off an arm, the Space Marine will just grab them. They're just as quick as Jedi.
They can freeze them with their mind.
Not necessarily, though.
Not if they're freed.
Not every Jedi can do that, absolutely. Yeah. But, like, a
and
decent,
Space Marines
like,
are decently resistant to psychic powers.
Yeah.
Like,
are they?
They can deal with the warp and their mentality
that's
is
right.
increased.
Well, that's Primaris Marine. That's Primaris
shit.
Marines only,
yes.
Mark.
Yeah, okay.
They have an increased mental fortitude against the warp. Check out our episode coming out on next Wednesday. Well, you'll hear all about Primaris Marine.
But Jedi can like fling like giant pieces of rock or debris, but this is going to bounce off a Space Marine for the most part. I think Space Marine.
All right.
Anything they do.
So us chatting about that, some people have said Space Marine for sure. Bolter round will kill easily.
Yeah.
Someone said Jedi aren't real. Space Marines are.
I think that's... That's the takeaway from this. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Someone said Jedi are susceptible to physical ammo. Someone said Jedi are low tier psychers.
Yeah, honestly.
Mandalorians use slug throwers to great effect against Jedi, I'm assuming they're meaning.
I think Space Marine wins.
Yeah. Every time. Because like Space Marines fight psychers all the time. It's not like
they
any time with psychers on the battlefield, the Jedi are like, well, I guess we die.
But is it a 1-to-1 ratio? Like, or does like how many Space Marines does it take down a psyker?
Yeah, it depends
on
one, is it two, psyker level. Three? But like a strong Jedi would be like a weak psyker in 40K. Like, Jedi aren't shooting lightning bolts typically. Like, they're not fucking causing black holes to appear, you know? Like,
well, it depends Jedi on quality. Yeah, is it a good Jedi versus a good Space Marine? Or is an
I
average
think
Space
Yoda
Marine
is
average?
More than a match.
You're literally taking one of the best Jedi.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You the average of both, right?
Exactly.
The average of both the Space Marine ones.
Yeah, I think it's Space Marine. Yeah. I mean, we'll put it this way. Like, say, for instance, you're a Space Marine, and you're laying into a Jedi with a bolter, right? As a Jedi, what do you have? You can deflect the bullets. Jedis have done that before, right?
Yeah, absolutely. They can fucking,
but so Jedi lightsabers.
But blasters, not bolts.
Not physical ammo.
So physical ammo, like slugs and stuff, melt through, and then
the
become
slag
like,
would hit.
Yeah, exactly. Become like
you can't
metal.
Use lightsabers to deflect physical ammo. You have to use like force projection shields to stop. And bolter rounds explode.
Exactly.
Yeah. So if a Jedi gets hit by a bolter, they're dead.
Yeah.
As any human would.
Yeah. I'm gonna say every time Jedi lose.
Oh, you got me on that one. I was out, then I was back in. Now I'm out again.
Yeah. Why not a Jedi in Space Marine armor? How about that?
Yeah, no.
How about that?
They well, then you get Tigerius.
I don't like this.
Then you get Mephiston. I watched a movie recently called Star Crash. It was a knockoff or a ripoff of Star Wars. It came out in 1978, I think. So a couple years after the first Star Wars.
Okay.
And
is it satirical or is it serious?
No, it's a serious movie.
Okay.
But it has like elements.
It looks serious.
It is. It's very serious.
It is like a complete 100% ripoff.
Oh yeah, it's definitely. But the crazy thing about it,
and like even like a sexy lady in the front in like a metal bikini. Yeah,
yeah, they're in skimpy outfits. That's why I clicked it
of course.
And watched it. But
your
the crazy thing is, I did.
Okay. Oh, even that ship.
Christopher Plummer is in that movie, who would go on to play Count Dooku. 20, 30 years later? Like, when did they release? 20 years.
Did he play
the
same character in both?
No. In Star Crash, he plays the Emperor, who is a benevolent being. He's very nice and gracious.
Okay.
But but it's just funny. It's like, did someone who was like making Star Wars, they were like, oh my God, there's a guy, Christopher Plummer. He was in this knockoff. He absolutely loves Star Wars. Like, let's get him to play a role. But he's just like, what a famous actor to find him. It's such
a
shitty,
low,
terrible movie. But everybody starts somewhere, I guess.
Yeah, that's it. And it's so long ago. You know, he would have been a very different person then to when he got in Star Wars.
Absolutely.
So,
David Hasselhoff is in this movie. Oh my God.
No shit. What's his role? What does he play?
He's like Luke.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He's not like Han?
No.
The swashbuckling fucking...
There's another Han character in there. But this Han, like, knows everything. Like, have you seen... Do you know Dune? The Bene Gesserit? They're like a witch cult that, like, know everything.
No.
All right. He kind of plays like that. Like, every single scenario, he's like, that's exactly how I knew it was going to happen. And, anyways, watch Star Crash if you want to find it.
I'm liking the look of it.
It looks so jacked.
You got to watch it.
It looks so fucking like just old.
There's this show on Netflix called Mystery Science Theater 3000. And these three people watch these absolutely trashy, terrible shows and just make jokes about them the whole time.
That's cool.
So you're watching the show, but you're also watching the people make jokes about the show.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I watched this is... I was just flipping through all the episodes they had on Mystery Science Theater 3000, I was like, wait, Christopher Plummer is in one of these? I was like, oh my God, that's Saruman.
that's Saruman.
That's Count Dooku. And then I found out it was a Star Wars ripoff, and I was like, I have to watch this.
So did you enjoy it?
10 out of 10.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Because you were laughing at it or with it?
Both.
Okay.
Like, and the jokes that these guys make are so... good. Like
stand up?
Yeah, it's yeah. It's like stand-up comedy. Obviously, they planned out the jokes.
They still stand up today.
Sure.
I see.
No, because the jokes I'm talking about are the people watching the video. So you're watching three people watch this video.
Streamers watch streamers.
No, it's really
streamers
good.
Streamers all the way down, eh?
God, all the way down.
That's really good.
That's great. There's a lot of like old school classic sci-fi food movies that...
Oh, yeah. There's the era of the late 70s and early 80s. Like, oh,
Alien,
my God.
Alien Man. It's one of my favorite movies. So well made. But there's nothing...
Yeah, I watched them with you for the first time ever.
We haven't watched the fourth one. We watched 1, 2, 3.
No, yeah.
Fourth one.
You stopped inviting me over because apparently now I have to pay you to hang out with you.
Well, that's pretty reasonable, I mean. So. Right, everything going on. But yeah, we'll have to watch the fourth one at some point. It's very different from the other three. All three movies are quite different. But
Is Prometheus in the Alien life?
Yeah, so that's the reboot. So it's Prometheus Covenant. There'll be a third one.
I liked the aliens. Like in the Promethean aliens.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're different every time. Yeah. So there's this whole evolution of it. Yeah, it was a cool, unique take. Prometheus was okay. Covenant was good. I liked Covenant. Mm. But they didn't feel like old school alien movies. This is a whole different kind of feel.
Right. That's very real.
Yeah. But I love the universe. Like, Alien is fucking sick. Nothing's cooler than a Xenomorph, man. Xenomorphs are one of the coolest sci-fi things to ever exist.
We just finished talking about Jedi, and now you're saying Xenomorph for the best fantasy?
Okay. Well, yeah, a Xenomorph could fuck a Jedi up.
Okay.
Don't worry about a Space Marine.
Okay.
Would a Xenomorph beat a Space Marine? Ooh, let me see that cross-fiction.
Have you ever seen a Tyranid?
Yeah.
Do they have acid blood?
Yep.
Do they... they're not as sexy. See, looks like you
don't want to fuck a Tyranid.
Well, I also do not want to have sexual relations with a Xenomorph.
Tyranids are spiky and look dangerous. A Xenomorph, H.R. Giger, his original design of it was to be a very what's it called when you're like you're both sexes? It's like
androgynous.
Yeah, androgynous. It's meant to be like an androgynous alien that looks like it was going to rape you to death.
Was that really
that
like
was the original design? That, when all these artworks, if you go
that's
back,
that's so
that,
crazy.
And because it's meant to be this weird kind of like sexual, like slinking, kind of like slithering creature.
This guy says a Space Marine would eat a Xenomorph.
See, I fucking love Space Marines. Now an orc and a Xenomorph—that's hard for me. But a Xenomorph's gonna fuck a Space Marine up all day long. Thank
really?
You.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
Nah, you're delusional.
Yeah, they're cool. They're always like walking around like,
yeah.
Oh, look at my teeth. I'm so
like,
slimy.
Yeah.
He's going to fall out of the walls and
let
like,
me burst from your chest.
He's going to slip in that armor and burst right out. Yeah. Oh, man. Imagine like you walked into a room and it's a bunch of Space Marines on the ground. They've all got face huggers on their face.
That's scary as shit.
So a Xenomorph that busts from a Space Marine would take on the genes of a Space Marine. So you get a Space Marine Xenomorph.
Another line. Xenomorphs aren't real. Space Marines.
Shut the fuck up, guy. Shut the fuck up. All right.
That guy knows what he's talking about.
Tell me what's
that's
real.
Side lightning.
Oh, jeez. Of course. He knows what he's talking about. He's a man you can trust. He's a doctor.
He's a
What's one of your favorite aliens?
Favorite aliens.
From pop culture. Is there any that kind of like, from fucking anything?
Jar Jar Binks, hands down.
No. Get out.
My dad genuinely really likes Jar Jar Binks.
Honestly, I prefer Jar Jar Binks to C-3PO.
What? Yes. They're both bad.
C-3PO annoys the shit out of me. Jar Jar Binks, for some reason, doesn't. Because the Gungans are too fucking cool.
C-3PO makes complete sense. It was made by a child.
He's just fucking annoying. Everything he
says
is annoying.
It was made by a child.
Like he bought like an online model kit.
No, and he put did not. Yeah. He created that out of the garbage that he found on Tatooine.
How come you find other ones that are exactly like him then?
Because it's all just scrap that he's pulling from all these things. The outside might look the same. But the interior, he did not clad him in armor until he was off Tatooine, right?
That's because he didn't have the parts. He didn't have the money.
Right, but the interior, all like the little pieces were stuff he scrounged. And like he wrote that software, right? Like, and he found little chips and bits. I don't know. It makes complete sense to me that C-3PO is annoying as shit.
It's just a neurotic computer that shuffles along and fucking complains
made
all the time.
Made by an 8-year-old child who is about to have relations with a... How old is she?
That's
at
fun.
That time?
He's punching 20. Up,
is she an... Are you an angel? I hate that so much in Phantom Menace. What trash.
Are you an angel? Now, well, I grew up with... I watched the Phantom Menace, those three... More than I watched the originals, because you know, I was like fucking 11 when they came out.
Yeah.
So you know, that kind of stuck true with me. You know, as a kid, I didn't mind Gungan, Jar Jar rather. And but growing up, obviously, everyone hates fucking Jar Jar Binks for some reason. It's like that's not the same childhood I had. Maybe if I was grew up on the original Star Wars, I'd have more respect for C-3PO, I guess.
All right. Someone said, Dylan, are you on coke?
I ask myself that every day.
Valid. Why I'm not on coke.
Why I'm not on coke.
Yeah.
Imagine me on coke, though.
Oh, my God.
Can we do coke cost?
Someone coke. Said... someone else said, C-3PO is more annoying than Jar Jar? Question mark. Yeah. This dude has lost his mind.
Right. He's allowed to be wrong. He's no, allowed to be wrong.
Everyone's yeah, absolutely. Allowed to be wrong.
No worries.
Either way.
He's allowed to be wrong.
It's okay.
Holy.
Eric, what's your favorite alien from any franchise? Me and Dylan agree on Jar Jar Binks being the best.
Clearly.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know as much alien stuff as I do fantasy stuff, but something that always was really cool to me as young, because I was introduced to it mm-hmm. when I was really young, were the people who ran the Dune Empire. The Sand Empire in Dune.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, those were, like, big, crazy fucking aliens, like, mutated to shit. And, like, then I think they were called Spice Navigators, I think was their name. I don't even remember a lot about Dune. I just remember is, like, that was, like, my first real trip into, like, whoa, aliens are, like, crazy. You know, they're not humanoid. Yeah. They don't look like us. They don't react like us. And I don't even know if they're aliens. I think they might even just be mutated humans.
Yeah, that's what I always thought they were, mutated humans.
Yeah, but they're beyond the point of humanity at this point.
Oh, yes. Right? Like, I think this is what you're talking about.
Just a big worm?
Essentially, with a giant head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very similar. But yeah, I remember thinking
Fuck it, that would be great.
I wish. Oh, missed opportunity.
Someone is saying Flood is a really good version of the alien.
They're pretty cool.
Oh yeah, Haley Flood.
They're cool, cool, but like I don't know, they don't, you can't go anywhere with them, I feel like. They're cool. They're like,
don't they
they're
just
like
take over?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, they're cool, but like,
it's an invasion. They have no motivation
there's
beyond
no goals,
like,
there's no yeah, let's, exactly. Let's not like grow. Jar Jar, where he's a very
he has character and personality.
Yes. Yeah, and you get to see him evolve and change and become
accidentally kill
a political
people?
Leader.
Be a total badass.
That's such bullshit.
Sick, man.
You clearly just don't understand good story writing.
Yeah, because that's what George Lucas does.
It's got floppy ears. What's the hate? It's cute.
Means I like.
You know what? My favorite. Okay,
oh,
yeah.
Fuck.
My very, very favorite thing about Jar Jar Binks is the idea that he is the most dangerous Sith Lord.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
That, I love that fan theory.
I wonder if, like, that fan theory is the same way, like, Star Wars fans feel the same way about that as when people send us, like, Emperor theories.
Oh, my God.
They're like, fucking guy, let her go.
Yeah. Really.
Do they feel the same way?
Yeah, we'll ask Christian. We'll ask Christian how he feels about Jar Jar being the most dangerous Sith Lord.
I
love
that
it.
That is the best. Way to find out.
Some funny arguments to be made once you look deep into it. Yeah, there's a lot of like deep fan fiction and stuff.
Oh, yeah. You can drive yourself mad with your own thoughts and come to crazy conclusions if you let yourself.
This is true.
This is true.
This is why you have a podcast to let all those things out.
Oh, man.
I'm looking at your chapter here. I got a bit of an announcement. Just wanted to kind of wait on until I was here to do it, obviously. Like, you guys have this Lorehammer chapter.
Yeah.
It's great. We've got a lot of painted models up there. Everyone's paid their way in, you know? You spend exorbitant...
I'm waiting for the part when you're like, why the fuck am I not in the chapter?
Exorbitant amounts of money for each individual model to be a part of this community and to be represented within the studio. But, you know what? I think it's going to come to an end pretty quick. Yeah, because...
Why are you threatening us?
I'm starting my own chapter.
Oh, you're going
to... I'm going to have...
Are you starting a Lorehammer chapter?
Not a chapter. No, Marine. To fuck up your chapter of nerds, I'm going to start a war band. So if you want to join Dylan's fucking war band...
Is that the title
big
of it?
Big D
Dylan
war
boys.
Band.
The Big D?
There's a couple rules. You have to have a giant Big D. Big Dylan energy. If you don't have this, you're not allowed in. Second of all, it's free. Fucking free. I'm gonna charge my fucking listeners and followers to join my orcish war band. Mm. Who's gonna completely fuck up and annihilate?
Well, that'll be
band?
Good. Then you'll actually be able to fill out your war band.
Whoa, yeah. I mean, also a prerequisite is you have to unsubscribe from Warhammer. Once you've done all these three
and
things,
I will confirm,
you can join my war band and we can crush the Lorehammer war band. So fuck Lorehammer, guys. Join Big D's war band, and we can work together to fuck these guys up.
You know what? I have been waiting a long time to start either my new craft world or my chaos war band.
No, you can't do a chaos war band.
Why not?
Have I never told you Christian's Chaos War band idea?
I don't care about him.
No, but trust me.
As a person. As a being.
Well, yes, yes, but...
You're already a model in this army. You're already a part of this army, man. I'm making my own
I'm
army.
About to fall and become a dark apostle.
No! No! That's Christian's story. Shit.
No, don't... He's not allowed to do that.
No, no. He didn't come up with it. I came up with it. So... Christian and Jordan, they split from the chapter and they start a Chaos War band called the Star Destroyers. It's just, it's like the podcast.
That's
you know,
funny.
They go do their own thing and it's.
Are they Chaos?
They automatically lose.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically, Christian
doesn't like Chaos.
No, but Christian's character is like, he's
I'm a
finally,
tormented soul.
No, no. He's finally been driven mad by your character always telling him that he's going to die. So now he seeks immortality and he wants to become a demon prince. So you did this to him.
He's too short to be a demon prince, to be fair. I think you have to be a little taller.
You can wear shoes, platform heels.
Yeah, he's going to be a demon in platform heels. It's going to look a little silly, don't you think? Like, how would anyone follow that? You know what I mean?
There's a decent amount of love on here for Dylan's war band.
There you go. See, that's what I'm saying.
I'm just look, sad that everyone's free? Leaving the Liber Malleus.
You know what? You unsubscribe from the Patreon. In fact, you demand the money back you've spent so far. And you just join mine. It's free. We can all get naked. We can all have choppers and choppers and choppers. I don't know what else there is. There's just choppers in my warband. And you know what? We can just fucking run ourselves
there's
at these
only choppers.
BYO chopper, or we can provide some.
Yeah.
We will lasso them down first, obviously. But yeah, I mean, fuck the Lorehammer chapter. Join Big D Warband. Big D.
I don't like it.
Why not? Is it because it's going to crush yours underfoot?
Oh, yes.
Can I be a weird boy in here?
You're already a fucking librarian or whatever nerdy bullshit.
I already told you.
Fucking chapter
I already told you I'm willing to abandon the Liber Malleus.
You guys are all sons of bitches.
Can Don the Green? Don the Green. That's all Mark left alone.
Holy.
Good shit.
Let's move on to something else.
What?
Let's talk about some other haters.
Talk about the fuck
yes,
happened to
absolutely.
Your face.
Let's talk about other people that don't really appreciate Lorehammer.
I'm
and
gonna
there,
say
of
the,
which
the
there
art
are
of Lorehammer.
There are a couple people out there. We get it.
No,
we're not everyone's cup of tea.
You're saying people don't like the podcast.
There's a few.
I'm what? Saying that there's some people that absolutely hate our podcast.
Yeah, even death threats upon
shit. There's a word for that. It's hater. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you have
haters?
But that's when you know you made it.
Yeah.
They hate when us because they ain't us. I learned that from Seth Rogen.
Did you just copy paste
or James
reply?
Franco, one of them.
Same person.
Oh my god, that would be such a great response back. They hate us because they ain't us.
Because they ain't us. What are the haters doing? Are they picketing against your house? Are they trying to crash your internet?
No,
they,
every once in a
sabotaging?
While, we get some emails or reviews that really allow people to share their feelings about Lorehammer. And I think you have a couple, Mark. But yeah. So I think what we're going to do is you're going to read them out loud, and then we're just going to laugh and try not to cry.
Yeah.
Because honestly, these hurt.
This is an act of therapy for me and Eric.
Yeah, we're trying to come to terms with the fact that there are people out there that don't like us. So it's going to be tough.
So here's a funny one. I mean, a hurtful one.
Sorry.
Yeah. I take this deeply serious to heart, this random person.
Who takes the time? Who takes the time to just like sit down you and go, oh, I'm going to let these guys push up my mind. And I'm just going to let them know. You know what? Just support the Patreon. All right?
So now you are a fan of the Patreon.
If you hate the podcast, give them money so they can change it. That's
like,
the strategy.
Honestly, if you just give us enough money, we'll stop doing the podcast. Mm-hmm.
Or if enough people join Big D Warbands, then there'll be no more Lorehammer podcasts,
and
we can prosper.
You'll just put us out of business. That's
yeah,
what you're doing.
We'll also crush underfoot and steal everything you have, but that's because that's what we do.
So here's one. I only listened to a few episodes, so I can't speak for all of it. I didn't enjoy it. Too boring for me. Lots of banter, not enough focus on the lore. When they did speak about the lore, it felt an unorganized and not heavily researched. They probably do lots of research. It just doesn't come off that way. And yeah, they're pretty immature. I feel their opinions have a negative impact on the community, which is why I wouldn't recommend them and felt I should actually post a review. But I also haven't listened to them, all of them. So take what you will from this.
Did you listen to 10 minutes of an episode? He's like heard one word he didn't like three
No, he
times,
pretty much nailed us.
That's
pretty much
yeah. No, we have had very negative impact on the community. nothing but negative things have come up. What we've done for Warhammer.
He nailed the flow of our episodes.
Basically. Oh, yeah, honestly.
Very little content. Oh. A lot of banter. Maybe does a lot of research. Does it show? Absolutely not.
So this was actually not really a negative review. This was just how it is.
Can I read
it? This is just life.
You want to read the next one?
I want to read one. Okay. All right. What's this guy saying? I wanted to listen to every episode.
You wanted to.
Currently 62. Before giving a review, but I got through 35. 35 is a lot of hours, dude, and I cannot continue. For me, when listening to a 40K lore podcast, I would prefer facts specific to lore I'm listening to. For example, when they are discussing the events of the devastation of Baal in episode 13, they stated that a single chapter, about 1,000 Space Marines, stopped the Tyranid invasion, but this is incorrect. The amount of chapters that responded to the defense of Baal was closer to 30 chapters.
That's 30,000 Space Marines.
30,000? No, so generally the Blood Angels, along with their successor chapters, did not stop the High Fleet. But the details were wrong. Wrong. For me, this was... put off, not just in this example, but all throughout the series.
We talked about that in episode 32?
Episode 13.
13.
Yeah.
13, which is an episode that has nothing to do with this. So this was a throwaway line.
Yeah. That's why it's not right, because we did no research about the devastation of Baal.
You guys are fucking wrong.
Well, the episode wasn't about
that. It was about Tyranids.
How dare you be incorrect? Sure. Pieces of shit.
Oh, yeah.
From what I heard, and whenever someone correct them on lore, they have an oh, well attitude. It seems almost offended that they were corrected. Don't correct me. It sickens me. How about shut
you
the fuck up?
You piece of trash. You are beneath my heel.
So for me, I am not a fan. And if you are like me, you may find these same things a bit of a put off. But to hear that the banter is what kept me for that time. Oh, that's nice. Thank you for what you guys do. And I hope my review can help you improve your podcast in the future. Don't be wrong.
It might have helped us. I don't know.
This is the one weird thing about 40K. There's actually quite a few reviews where it's like, they don't know enough about 40K. It's like, no one can know everything about 40K.
Don't challenge people. They will come to you with knowledge.
You come to me. Sure. No one knows everything. There's hundreds of books.
Do you know how many pages are just on Lexicanum? Like, there's no way you know every single piece of information. It consists of, right now, 26,081 articles that have been edited over 400,000 times.
Jesus Christ.
So it's like, there's no way.
Yeah, I do listen to people when, I'm legitimately wrong and, they correct me. That's fine. Like, we used to even do that when we had, when we first started, we're like, if we did something wrong, let us know, and we used to correct it. But I think ultimately it's just like, we got a bunch of emails like this where it was like correcting us about something that was not the intent of the episode.
Yeah, you know,
another really big one was talking about when we did our Imperial Guard episode, we got a bunch of negative reviews like, oh, they don't know shit about the guard. Guardsmen can retire. It's like, yeah, guardsmen can retire, but 99% of them do not. You know,
everyone's perspective is also a little different, right?
Yeah, sure.
And that's just a problem with doing a podcast based on a fictional world. First of all,
that doesn't have actual hard and fast.
Absolutely.
Facts.
Like, we argue about facts, which should be impossible to argue about. But it's just because it's the nature of 40K. Yeah. Like, if we were like, hey, let's do a podcast about math, all right? 1 + 1 = 2. Always move on.
No.
When is 1 + 1 not 2, Mark?
When it's not 2. It's another number.
But that's...
Quantum math, Eric.
Yeah, quantum.
Exactly. Technically, you're wrong.
Let's talk about quantum 40K.
And that's this guy, right? Technically, you're wrong.
Yeah. I do appreciate, when people do email in.
Sometimes we are very wrong.
Oh, for sure. And that definitely happens. And other times
it's good to know.
Yeah, no, I love it. But other times it's just like, that wasn't the content of the episode. Like, it was a throwaway line that we pulled off the top of our head or something. But I don't know.
Yeah, that one definitely was. Nowhere in our, because I just looked at our episode notes.
Yeah.
Nowhere in there do we even mention Baal. No blood angels. So it was obviously a throwaway line.
Do you have any other ones? I only found two on our...
Well, let me go on Chartable.
We'll do a couple more, because some of them are pretty funny.
Some of them are fun. You only found two on Facebook that were negative? That we were willing to share? That's the key. That's the key.
Yes, wow.
I've heard the ones that not willing to share. Yeah.
So here's one. This guy, the title of his review is Very Wrong. One star.
One star.
It's painful to listen if you know your faction's lore and you hear it butchered. I was hoping to learn some cool, obscure stuff, and all the basics were so far off.
Oh, yes. Oh.
They were
everything we
even
wrong.
Arguing between themselves about who was right.
Mm.
Perfect.
One star. Neither of them. Most of the time.
I fully bet that I'm wrong 70% of the time, anytime I open my mouth. That's just who I am as a person.
Uh-huh.
You do the research you fucking can. Obviously, you read it out. You have discussion about it. Sometimes you'll argue about facts. Sometimes you'll argue about ideas.
Here's a great one titled Insubstantial.
Mm.
One star.
Mm.
Okay.
Clearly a bunch of guys who just enjoy the lore, but no one is really versed in it.
No. No, of course not.
Most statements are overly vague, such as, I think I read somewhere, ... And it's clear that the hosts aren't really prepared.
No.
Pronunciation is horrendous.
Now that's the only review that I'm like, yeah.
Just wait, this is going to get so much better.
Oh my God.
And so is general understanding of how related topics work.
Oh, of course.
The episode on the Astra Militarum.
Oh, perfect.
Showcases how the host knew almost nothing on military structure. And how they were too lazy to brush up before trying to explain it to listeners.
Of course.
I know it's a fictional universe. Do you? But damn, guys. Don't go ahead and use the awesome name Lorehammer if you're just going to wing it like this. 1 out of 5.
Ooh, crushing.
Hurt feelings.
I mean, sometimes you get shit wrong. Have you gone back in the episode and done extra research? Have you clarified whether he's correct or not?
We used to, and like, if something is truly egregious,
absolutely.
In our,
it's
in
totally
our next
worth.
Episode that we're talking about Primaris, and this is coming on Wednesday. We learned more about the Rubicon Primaris that we previously stated was wrong, and we are going back and correcting it. But like,
yeah, we very clearly though said one thing about it, and then we, after like research and like trying to source this out, we realized like, okay, it might not be how we said it was.
Yeah, because the weird thing too about 40K is like, it's so many different authors. And so many different people are involved. And then even like everyone has their own interpretation and everything. So how can anyone ever be 100% right? You can literally have two black library books with contrary opinions. So if somebody reads one and somebody reads the other one, they have two very different ideas.
Well, that's about to come in. That's about to come into our episode in the next one, too. Hmm. There's like a very common turn of phrase that has shown up since Primaris Marines.
Yeah.
It never made much sense to me, so I was doing research in it, and I truly think, and you go on Lexicanum, and I found 4 articles, all different pages, that reference this thing and state this is the way it is.
Yeah.
And I've tried to like look at all their sources, and like I'm reading these like excerpts in the novels, and like going through the codexes, and I'm trying to find this, and like, man, like I don't think people are using this phrase correctly as like a descriptor.
Yeah.
And like, no one will agree with me online because, like, no, like, this is clearly what it says.
Look, check the Lexicanum, but it's like, yeah, but if you check the sources, like,
it's interesting. I mean, you click that extra link to go that extra mile to double check.
Sometimes we do for sure, and once again, sometimes we're just fucking wrong. Like, there's just so much information. Or another big issue that I have too is like, I've been in it for 20 years. Like, lore,
so much has changed.
Lore has changed. Like, even just simple things like, and GW's like, I wouldn't say bad, but they don't ever do like a list of retcons or like they don't ever say this has now changed.
Well, they've
or...
given such a great excuse of why they never need to.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, what does it say? All things are canon, not all things are true.
Yeah,
so it's like, that's another thing. Like, sometimes I'm just fucking...
Sounds like a safety net to me. But I mean,
no, honestly, what a smart move by Games Workshop.
Oh, absolutely. Because obviously they have to evolve now to expect that.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's as if people expect you to have gone to school for Warhammer.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like what your degree said otherwise. You're not eligible.
I was misled.
Yeah.
The credentials presented do not represent the podcast I have recently ingested.
Your name is so sweet, you must know everything.
Yeah.
What a joke.
That's funny.
It's funny. But yeah. It's funny to read the reviews every now and again. There are some that are like,
someone commented, they do retcon models, though, for that cash. I am going to interrupt. I'm going to read a couple of the things that people are saying. Someone said, well, to be fair, y'all do botch Dark Eldar lore pretty often.
Do we? Who said that?
You don't want to know.
Sidelighting?
You're going to lose a...
Yeah, no, I know. He's talked to me about it, and I'm like, water off a duck's back.
Someone else said, Imperial Guard aren't real Space Marines are. Guess who said that?
I don't know.
That's sidelighting.
Oh, yeah.
Someone else said, Mark is the light of my life. Please notice me, senpai.
No, so that would be his name starts with an N, right?
No.
Oh, a new cult member.
Yeah.
Okay.
Join the ranks. No, keep up the feedback, guys.
Slide Lightning says, you can give yourself degrees. Trust me, I'm a doctor.
Yeah. No, it is funny. It's like... Even just the way we do it, like, Lorehammer is a discussion between friends and stuff. Like, yeah, we talk and we try to get as much right as possible, but ultimately, like, we're just fucking dicking around.
Yeah, it's a fucking podcast.
Yeah, it's like...
You're hanging out, you're delivering content, trying to make it interesting, right? Yeah. You're not going to hit perfect every time. So if your review is terrible enough or good enough, you appear to read it on the podcast. So I should challenge people to write the most scathing reviews or the most glorifying ones.
In the early days, like, there was some really fun reviews.
Here's a good one.
Do you remember?
Mark and Eric have a weird homoerotic vibe.
Yeah.
The lore is also good. Cheers.
That's funny.
Now that is also accurate about
that's very true.
Do you remember mine? You read it.
On
before
air?
I came to Canada.
Yeah.
We read it on
so
air.
Yours was like the chainsword one, right?
It was like a bunch of in jokes. It was
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I remember it. Yeah.
Early days. Because I started talking to you and then you actually read down the line and thought it was really funny.
Yeah, no, I remember it. I don't remember exactly word for word, but I definitely remember, yeah.
And then I sold everything and came to Canada immediately to get those accolades. And here I am.
We'll find it here.
Oh God, it's early. That would have been on 2017.
Yeah, that would have been a while ago.
2017, 2018, maybe.
Here's
2018.
One. Just wrong. First time listening and halfway through an episode, I have lost count of the number of things from the lore which they get wrong.
Oh no.
If your entire podcast is about the lore, better get it right.
Get it right. You got to get every detail right every time.
Pirate Podcast is about you guys.
Dylan, you earlier said, like, who would leave a review? Why the fuck did you leave a review?
I left a review.
Because he loved it. That's different.
Because it was funny. I was actually taking the piss out of you guys. But do you remember? Oh, it's fucking ages ago.
Yeah,
God,
I do remember it.
Man. Can you search?
I don't know. Control F.
My name.
How do you spell it? What's your name again?
What's your name again?
I can't even spell Dylan. Or type. You know what? They're right. You know, every time you get annoyed of Mark fucking reading or typing things, just send him an email.
Now, that's one that surprisingly we don't get. The one host can't read shit.
Okay.
Oh, maybe this is it.
No. I found a good one. Please look into how to produce a podcast.
Oh, yes.
Two stars out of five.
That's funny.
These guys obviously do not put much thought and time aside from recording to make the podcast. They don't edit sound levels, and I found myself getting more and more frustrated trying to hear what they are saying and sitting through laughter as they laugh at their own jokes. Well, I am pretty funny, so.
So, like, if Dylan says something really funny, I'm not supposed to laugh at it. Like,
No. You're supposed to be...
Degree of silence.
Yeah.
Spot on, Dylan. Spot on. No laughing. No laughing. I don't know what that is.
Guffaw. Different kinds of laughing.
Oh, this is a good one.
You found one?
A little too vague. 3 out of 5 stars.
That's a good one.
The show is okay, but compared to Luton, it's often too vague and speculative. In addition, I didn't like one of the main host's self-righteousness, such as asking guest questions, answering himself, and not admitting to mistakes, etc. Which one of us is that?
Sounds about right.
It's going to be you, Eric.
That's me?
Definitely.
Nice. I'm righteous.
Definitely.
I love being righteous.
All right. Well,
what a great thing to aspire.
You're a righteous man.
I'm a righteous man.
If you had to review your own podcast, what would you say?
Come for the lore. Don't stay for the lore. Stay for the feet pics.
Done. How many stars?
4 out of 5.
4 out of 5. Just that little cuck at the end. Just that little edge. Just leave them wanting more.
Oh, man. Some of these are...
Yeah, people got time, man.
People got time.
People listen to it, especially now.
Let's talk about something else.
Oh, yeah.
You got one more good one?
Sorry, I got one more.
Okay, yeah.
Lacking in info, humor... and class. Hey. I've never been called classy, so.
Info, humor, or class.
1 out of 5.
Those are three very big categories to fail in. Right.
Mark and Eric, Eric spelled with a C, first of all, thank
Son
you.
Son of a bitch. Yeah.
Seem to not do barely any research. Mm. Well, maybe you should learn how to type. Mm. Before they broadcast, leading to moments where they are confused or worse, argue about who's right, not who is right. So again, learn how to type. Worst part is that
wow,
these guys...
grammar Nazi Eric.
Well, come on.
Self-righteous. Yeah,
I am a righteous man.
Up to it.
All right.
Jesus Christ.
Mark and Eric seem... Where is it? I lost. Okay. Worst part is that these guys play into the neckbeard stereotype with their gross humor and tasteless comments.
Tasteless comments.
Oh, man. That's funny. It is funny when you go through our reviews. There's like one or two reviews. Like it's like, oh, yeah, these guys are super funny and informative. And then the exact opposite.
I hated them so much.
They are not
they know
funny.
Nothing.
It's bipolar. Yeah. It's so funny.
And that's the, like, consume content at your own meter.
Yeah. All I'm going to say is, what are we sitting at? 4.8 rating? So
4.6. We're sitting at 4.6.
Oh, on Facebook. Sorry, 4.8 on Facebook.
Our conglomerate podcast ratings.
Why do we have Dylan on to just talk about ourselves? This is the second time now.
This is okay.
Let's just
self-indulgent. It's fun. So I don't know anything about the law, so it's better to just talk about other people.
The podcast.
None of us know anything about the law.
Yeah, one guy just commented on the Instagram Live. He's like, theory crafting and guessing is the best part of 40K.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I would way rather guess and argue about something than us be like, hey, did you know that Ultramarines come from a Craig? Thumbs up.
Ultramarines are called ultramarines because they're blue and they're
their color is ultramarine.
Well, no, actually, it's based off the seas, the seas of Ultramar, not the color. It's
The seas of Ultramar or McCraig?
It's such an open world.
Who's right? Who's wrong?
And it's such an open world that you can have any kind of creativity in it. Like any planet could exist with like your own army, your own ideas.
Absolutely.
On it. Like, it's a total or blank slate. Right?
Yeah. Like I totally like someone telling me like I'm wrong about lore in 40K. It just doesn't faze me. Yeah. Like I love arguing about it, but in the end, like, if your intention is to, like, I'm going to show him, like, I don't really care. Because you very well could be right, and you very well could be wrong. And it's just, you have to just accept it as reality, right?
Yeah, so essentially.
That's what's great about Warhammer.
We can all agree, nothing is real except Space Marines. They are the only thing that is real.
Space Marines are real. Everything else, like,
nothing else.
They are the
Eldar Psyker can't hurt you. That's what my therapist said. They said Dark Reapers aren't actually going to shoot me from 30 miles away.
Oh. But the Space Marines. Space Marines are real. The one constant we have in this world. That's we can rely on.
The one true protector. Mm.
Space Marines to kill COVID-19. Let's go. Let's do it, guys.
Someone just said, you just like to shout and dominate, Eric.
He's a dominating type.
Oh, man.
He's a jerk.
But just wait till you the funniest ones is like when people are like, oh, yeah, Mark knows more. Uh-oh.
No, we're good. Sorry. Oh, okay. Keep going. What's the funniest one?
Oh, Mark seems to be way more right about the science than Eric. And I'm like,
I like those too. Like,
I don't think I am.
I like those.
Yeah, I've never read a book.
No, I think there's like three solid topics that we've had people measure. One was there was an episode where we were arguing about space physics.
Sure.
I remember that because I think that argument went on for like a solid 15 minutes. And then someone messaged us and they were like, dude, like Eric was wrong about literally every aspect of it.
I'm like, I don't know.
He sounded like he knew what he was talking
about.
Maybe. So.
What would I know about space physics?
We're all just guessing, Mark. That's the whole thing. It's just you guessed right and I guessed wrong.
Yeah, sure.
Those are the best ones.
It was just a 50-50 chance.
Yeah, pick a side. Yeah, where they prefer one of you over the other, that's the most hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, Mark's way better than Eric.
Eric's
way more attractive than Mark.
I don't know why I'm here, really. Mark is the loved person of the podcast.
I need somebody to bounce off of. I've done an episode with myself.
You had to bounce off yourself.
It was not good. If you want to listen, go listen to Mark and Trevor Forever.
Mark and Trevor Forever.
That was actually pretty funny.
Holy.
You guys are the perfect couple. Perfect husband and wife, you know?
Oh, man.
Jeez.
So that's what it's required.
We also put in our Discord, like, oh, yeah, we're doing an episode. Do you guys want us to talk about anything specific? So join our Discord, and we're doing, like, a lot of stuff on there that kind of No one else. We don't post it on our Facebook. We don't post every little detail on an Instagram. So if you want to get more a part of it, Lorehammer, join the Discord.
The Discord is a good community. I think we've said this once before during our lockdowns, but we have like a good, decent, fun, encouraging community on Discord.
Is it constant? Like, it's constant interaction.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, people from all over the world. Mm-hmm. So almost always there's someone on.
And here's a good one. Who the fuck is Dylan on here? That's on our Discord. No, so the one thing they were asking on our Discord was how do you go about doing conversions and stuff?
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, so they wanted us to talk about like the conversion process. So like for me,
well, describe the difference between kit bashing and converting.
Yeah, so I don't know if this is like an official community definition.
I've
like,
heard you say it once before, and I agree with it fairly.
Like, I don't know if it's official on the Wikipedia, but...
Well, so, I read it on the Wikipedia.
So there's kind of four categories. So it's just building out of the box, where literally everything in the box you're building, you're following instructions. Step one, glue on legs. That's building out of the box. The next one is... bits bashing or kit bashing. And that's where, so you have two Space Marine box sets, right? You have an Assault Marine box and you have a Tactical box. You take the Assault Marine's arms and you put them onto the Tactical Marine.
Yeah, or you take the legs from one and you put them on bodies that they were never intended
exactly,
to go on.
So it's very, very like, oh yes, like the flat part, an arm goes on an arm.
Absolutely, yes. Space Marine legs on Space Marine bodies with Space Marine arms and Space Marine shoulder pads and Space Marine weapons, all pulled from different Space Marine kits, but all intended for Space Marines.
Yeah.
Still kit bashing.
Still kit bashing.
Okay. The third category is conversions. So conversions is, it can be either straight out of the box or it can be multiple boxes. But the thing about conversions is you're actually taking a bit and you're cutting it at an angle to make maybe the arm is normally down at a side, but you're cutting it at a weird angle, so now it's maybe up in the air.
Or all you're doing is pulling the elbow piece off of that arm and attaching it onto the bicep and the forearm of a completely different model.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, you're taking Cetacean arms and, like, orc biceps, and you're putting, like, a weird 13th century, like, guard on the elbow, right? To create something that is impossible otherwise.
Yeah, so a conversion, is if you end up having to cut or redo the model in any way that is not standard. So that's a conversion. So the fourth category would be sculpting.
Oof.
So that's literally like you have a block of green stuff and you've made a model. But it can also be also be as simple as, once again we'll go to the Space Marine arm. You put a little block of green stuff in the arm, draw some joints or like ribs in it, and now the Space Marine's arm is like,
it looks like it's flexed up and it looks like normally proportionate to what it should be in the body. Or you're adding capes or scrolls or
filling in gaps even with green stuff on tanks.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So that would be sculpting.
Each of these
it's the different medium is what that is.
Yeah.
Each of these is an ascending difficulty. So obviously.
Yep. Absolutely.
Which is cool because you can, based on your skill level, like kit bashing is pretty easy. Converting's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
But I love converting.
Modeling. I've seen you use green stuff in before and you can use it so effectively. Can you fuck it up easy? Like, is it challenging?
So like anything, if you have the proper tools and you've kind of watched what techniques are, anyone can get the basics down. Like, obviously I'm not going out and I'm sculpting green stuff like models.
Yeah. Sorry, some guy on Instagram Live just said this. Primaris Chaos Marines with Tau shoulder pads, Tyranid fixtures, and a hint of Eldar jewels.
Yes.
Slaaneshi pretty Marines.
I think that falls into the fifth category of
heresy.
Yeah.
One of my first models I ever kitbashed, I realized, now we have a word for it, when I was 14 or whatever, was a Space Marine of his many parts. But the one kitbashing element was I replaced his leg with one of the little tree stumps.
Oh, very cool. It's a peg leg.
He was named Stumpy. It was Stumpy Marine.
Awesome.
Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah. No, like that's a perfect example. Yeah.
Yeah.
Converting.
I absolutely love kit bashing and converting.
Yeah.
Like, and even a little bit of sculpting. You do a little bit.
I'm just recently getting into the sculpting game.
That's cool.
Milliput is what I've chosen as like my medium, and it functions very differently than green stuff.
Sure.
So there,
what's
like,
the difference?
Milliput isn't as moldable as green stuff. Green stuff will, like, you can create like flow in like robes like way easier.
Right.
It keeps its shape way better. Yep. Whereas Milliput is way more like of a gap filler, I've found.
Oh, okay.
But I do find that it's much more seamless than green stuff, because I think Milliput reacts with water a lot better than green stuff, so you get a much smoother finish. I don't know. That's just my experience. I also don't have a lot of experience in green stuff, but I'm going to.
I would agree with most of that.
Yeah. I'm going to get more into green stuff. Like, the next army I do is going to be really heavily converted and sculpted.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
I would love to hear it, but can I just tell the one difference? Yeah, yeah. The one difference with green stuff, depending on how you mix it, and I guess this goes for Milliput too, because it's still a two-part epoxy.
It is, but it's not the same
thickness. Yeah, green stuff, if you do a lot of yellow and very little blue, it does flow better.
Okay.
And it does smooth it out. So yellow is like, I think blue is the hardening agent.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's
all
blue.
I know is that the tools I have are like these small like rubber-tipped tools, which you also use for green stuff.
Yep.
But adding like dipping them in water and having a little bit of moisture on like the Milliput, you can't tell if there's a crack between the two gray things, I can make that crack disappear.
Sure.
It's very smooth. And I've never been able to do that with green stuff.
Oh, yeah. I see.
But I also don't experiment with green stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like kind of fingerprint indent. Exactly. Until, there's a little bit of kind of knock in it. It's not like a surface. It's
sure.
Not,
yeah. Sure.
I mean,
but I'm gonna get better with green stuff because I love converting.
Yeah. So. And it's such a easy thing to, I think it's one of those things where it's like people look at and like get overwhelmed, but it honestly is quite easy. Just like a lot of other things in 40K.
Just an extra tool that you got to use.
Yeah.
I mean, when I open a box, like I don't want to build the models unless I kit bash or convert.
Absolutely. I'm tired of the regular pose.
I'm not going to make a regular pose dude. That's everyone else's army. Like, and it looks boring and it's standard.
Sure.
You got to be your own little unique snowflake, you know?
Yeah.
But you guys do that effectively as well. You kind of add your own little elements and stuff for the most part.
Like
that Necron walking through the portal. That's such a fucking cool thing.
I love that guy.
He's cut in half and he's stepped hot like a Rick and Morty portal, right? And he's just halfway walking through it like he's emerging from it.
I'll have to post a picture.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Very cool. Yeah. Shit like that. And you can still use that as a you know.
Absolutely. It's the right size. It's the right height. Like, I'll remove it first, right? So no line of sight questions come into play.
It's people's ideas that are some of the coolest things about the hobby itself. Like, painting is painting. You can paint a model to all sorts of standards. End of the day, it looks pretty. But it's the ideas and creativity in the kit bashing and the converting that makes the hobby so appealing.
Sure.
Absolutely.
There's so much opportunity. It's cool, you know? And the more you can do into it, the better. I mean, you should see Mark's box. Mark's got this giant fucking, I mean, how big is it? It's like 3x4 foot fucking tub full of bits.
You could wash a small person in that tub.
So I came over here last week.
You could wash Christian in that tub.
Have a bits bath. You know, if you get real hungry, you can make stew out of the bits. But you look at that giant box full of bits and it's just full of opportunity. It's great.
Yeah, you came over the other day and you were digging around in it. It was fun. And like I was supposed to be painting, but I was digging around. I'm like, ooh, this could be cool. And eventually, like 10 minutes later, you just have this huge pile that has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah,
just
cool
like,
shit.
This was a cool bit. This was a cool bit. And it's like, oh, I just got to put them all back in the box.
Like, we feel like two kids playing Lego. That's what it feels like. Oh, this piece could go with that one. That could go with that. You got these ideas.
Yeah.
You have to convince me a way to not put a demon head on my space marine. As cool as it would be.
I can convince you.
Could have been cool. Yeah. That's all right. I just wanted to play a regular space marine. But I can build that out of the bits in his box. He's got this giant fucking box. It's cool.
So let's talk about each one of our favorite conversions that we've done.
Okay.
So, Dylan, would you like to start if you got one?
My favorite conversion that I've done, one I'm really proud of is my war banner, my Orkwood war banner.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Which is the magic card.
It just recently popped back up in my notifications. Someone recently liked it.
Really?
Because we have a bunch of pictures of your orcs.
Cool. Yeah. Oh, sweet, sweet. Yeah, sweet.
So I saw it again and I was like, I forgot how awesome this model was.
Yeah.
His whole army. It's but that one especially.
It's a magic card because that's my other hobby. So I got Overwhelming Stampede in foil. And made a banner over it. So it's like obviously twice the size of the fuck it model, but it looks fantastic. It's super orky.
Super orky.
But I mean, the idea was to combine my two favorite hobbies and like, and it came across super effectively. I even put like little bits of thread as in it's like ropes holding onto the flag itself. you know, I've done a lot of effects that make it look like it's kind of tattered, but ultimately it's just fucking giant
it's
magic
just a
card.
Magic card. And it's very clearly a magic card. Yes. Yeah, like, yes. It looks good. It looks,
but it looks like a flag. Like it looks like it's in battle, but it's a magic card. So it's kind of weird.
It's so good.
That's probably one of my favorites. What about you,
Eric? Do you got one?
I'm competing for three right now in my brain.
You can snag me a water.
I'll grab a water.
Thanks, dude.
Okay, so I guess mine would be my favorite is probably going to be my Tau Ethereal Monpros conversion. Eric's just hopping Eric's in the live stream right now. The, like,
you can turn it towards you, Eric. It's been on half the time.
Look at that fresh haircut.
You should look at his face. You should tell the story of what happened to your fucking face.
I already did.
Oh, you did now. Girlfriends. Anyway, keep going.
Yeah, so it's my Monproz conversion. So we did this whole tower RPG, and that the live stream ended. That definitely plays a part of why I like him so much, just because he has so much, like...
Delete video, right?
Yeah, delete video. So much invested in him. But basically, Peter's character in the very first episode picked up, like, a pseudo lightsaber, essentially. And it was just a throwaway item.
Like,
he never used it the entire 40 hours that we played. And on the very final mission, I, like, disarmed him, because at this point, I knew exactly what I wanted from Peter. So I disarmed him. He had no other weapons. He's getting charged by a bunch of guys. I'm like, you feel this weight on your belt, and you look down, and you remember the lightsaber that you pick up, the fusion blade. So he basically picks it up, and he cuts down a bunch of people and all that kind of stuff.
You remembered it, not him.
I remembered it.
He wasn't purposely neglecting it.
He just forgot that it existed.
But you had track of all his gear in inventory. Yeah, so you're like, I know you've got that fucking
lightsaber.
You
got that. Yeah,
that's
so
cool. Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, he cuts down a bunch of people, like, feels like a complete badass.
So, wait, when you reminded him, was he like, oh yeah!
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. I have a fucking lightsaber.
Yeah.
Sick, yeah.
But, yeah, so this is a long story to tell for why it's my favorite model. But basically, my whole Tau army is based off, like, clone troopers, essentially. So all of the models are a clone of him, and their colors are white with, like, different colors. Some have blue, some have green. So it's very much like if you think of, like, the 501st or, like, whatever type of clone trooper regiment, legion, I forget what they call them. It's very colorful. But then to top it all off, one of the most, like, iconic things in Star Wars is Obi-Wan Kenobi and his, like, lightsaber pose. So he has it over his head, and his two fingers are out. You know, like, he says,
like, everybody knows that pose.
Exactly. Yeah. He's like, hello there. And then he does the whole...
General Kenobi.
Yeah, like, it's so iconic, that
everybody
pose.
Everybody knows
so
that.
So I posed the model to look exactly like that. Like, 100% like that. Fingers out, everything. It was just such a cool, like, addition to kind of nod towards how I like clone troopers and just kind of, yeah.
Did you want to go into how you made it? Like, how did you get those arms to do what you wanted to do?
So it was a bunch of different parts, and half of one arm is all just green stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but, like, I took, like, ethereals, gave them, like, a rope. Yeah.
Fuckload of work.
Yeah, yeah. Like, the arms, none of it's, like, an official piece.
Yeah.
Like, even the legs and stuff is, like, I had to cut one model completely in half and then carve it out hollow so I could put legs inside of it. Like, it,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it was heavily converted.
Yeah.
How did you make the lightsaber?
So there was, like,
he formed it in his dream. And the next morning when he woke up, there it was on his bedside table, shining in a ray of light descended from seemingly nowhere. Uh-huh. As Mark picked up the blade, he felt a soul speak to him, saying, I am Monproz.
Oh,
and I am happy with what you have done, my son.
Good explanation.
Yeah.
Very
so that's my favorite.
That's how we got the lightsaber.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, no worries. You didn't neglect it for 40 missions. You finally found it again.
Yeah. No, that I think is definitely my favorite, because it's so unique, and it just has a lot of, like, I don't want to say sentimental, but it is sentimental meaning to me.
Well, the way that you've combined, like, two hobbies, you're role-playing with one.
I am really excited to share next, because I'm not going to share about my favorite converted model. I'm actually going to share about the day that Monproz character died.
Oh, God.
So Mark just finished sharing how emotionally attached he was to that model. How many games he played and that character never once died?
12. I played 25 games with a 60-point Tau Ethereal model, and he never fucking died.
Never once in any of those games. So, Mark and I and some other guy we met through Lorehammer.
Oh, fuck. Adam.
Adam, that's right, from Edmonton.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So we were all in a gaming store in Calgary hanging out, and Adam was not super versed in...
This was his first game.
Yeah. All right, sure. It was his first game. He never
super
played.
Well versed.
He doesn't know, like, the tricks. He doesn't know how to, like, properly get into, like, combat. He doesn't know, like, the right strategies or tactical decisions to make. Anyways, he's never done it.
Yeah.
So he's playing there. James and I finish up our game, and we come look over. Adam is playing Mark's knights. Mark is playing his Tau. And what properly should be done, Adam is like, okay, my big knight is going to charge your tank. That is the correct decision.
Yeah.
But Mark's little Monpros was right fucking in the middle of
40-point model.
Was literally standing 3 inches away from this like Night Crusader or something with a big fuck off chainsword. And we're like, wait a minute, why don't you just charge both?
And then if you fail one, you can just
charge and kill the other one. You're guaranteed to get that one.
Yep.
Right? So then he's like, oh, like, I didn't know you could do that, right? And Mark's like, I fucking hate the multi-charge rule. It's the dumbest rule I've ever seen.
Especially, like, so one charge was left and one charge was
they
right.
They were very opposite directions.
Yeah, so it's one thing side by side, the charges, then it's like, okay, sure.
Third to fifth editions had, like, multi-charges, but they had to be very close with each other.
Yeah. Right.
So it's very different.
Yeah.
But this one, you just pick whatever target you want as long as it's within 12 inches, right?
It's kind of fucked.
So, yeah. So he's like, okay, guess I'll do it, you know? Like,
you told me to.
Why not? Like, yeah. So, and Mark's, at this moment, Mark is like, oh, like, you guys know that guy has, like, never died. And we're like, well, now, obviously, it has to die.
Gotta get targeted.
So, dude rolls, makes enough for the tank, but we're like, no. Don't go for the tank.
You sons of bitches.
Go for Monbron.
Oh, my God. You incentivize.
Bring this 500-point knife against this tiny little Monbron.
In close combat.
It just disintegrated him.
He probably did like 20 wounds to it or something. Like,
but literally, he had not died. And Mark told us, like, he was like, yeah, if he ever dies, like, I'm retiring him. I am never playing with this model ever again. Yep. And we were like, oh my God, kill this model. Kill the model. And it was so good. After that, Mark, you have never played with that model again.
So I actually painted the model. And now I have painted him again to look like a statue.
As in, like, an honor for him.
Fuck yeah. That's sick. That's cool. And where is it now?
Just in my towel box.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, so, it's there. If you ever want to see Monpros, like, man, if you've ever listened to the story of Monpros on our podcast and you ever get the chance of meeting us, like, you should ask to see Monpros. Like, how many hours did you spend listening to him? Now you get to see his model.
Absolutely. Very cool. I mean, you could deploy him on the table as like a morale boost or something like that.
Well, so
as
so
like
what,
a piece of terrain.
As
an objective marker.
Yeah, what I use him for is not for an objective marker, but there are missions called relic missions where there's a relic on the board and you go capture it and then you move the relic around. Nice. So it's different than an objective marker because you can move it around with you. So he will be my relic now. So it's like this statue in the middle of a courtyard, you know, or whatever. They just
that
have
was
to go
so
claim it.
Picture perfect how that worked
just
out.
Just fucking boot stomped by a knife.
By a knife.
That's the way to go. It would have been so like depressing if he just got pot shotted by some like Imperial Guards.
Yeah, or like something. A Necron warrior cut him down or something. Yeah. Like.
But just like a fucking knight.
Not even an armature. We're talking like a fully grown knight.
Imagine if somehow he just killed the knight. And you're like,
oh my God.
Why?
I would have been.
How?
I would have even been surprised if he like survived close combat. Like that would have been a feat. Like,
it was just instant
death. Survived
death.
One round. Yeah.
But now your Tau should have a vendetta against knights from now on.
Oh my God.
Constantly seeking revenge.
What a champion of
it's
the
such
people.
A cool idea. I love that you blend those two, you know, and it's a whole story, and that story is like kind of what makes the whole army.
Yeah, I like doing that with my armies. Yeah. I like having some type of story arc that I can play out on the tabletop. So like another one I'm doing is for my Chaos Warband, my Obliterators, my Chaos Lord. What's that face?
Is this the first time I've heard about the story? Oh, no.
You know.
I thought you said continuing story.
Oh.
Sorry, carry on. Yeah, I'm trying to chat with people.
No.
Monpros isn't real. Space Marines are.
Son of a bitch.
That's on Instagram.
Don't get out of here. But yeah, so the other one is like I want to have my Chaos Lord turn into a Demon Prince on tabletop. So then like the way you do that is you roll a stratagem and then if you roll 2 sixes, you become a Demon Prince, so whatever. But it's like an actual thing. So instead of me just writing in the lore, oh yeah, he became a Demon Prince, my goal is to actually turn him into a Demon Prince. Like,
actually.
And when he does, then you will remove him from your list and add a Demon Prince.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's very cool.
It's fucking awesome. That's such a cool idea, man.
Yeah.
So. Very, very cool.
It makes your army alive.
Yeah, and it
gives them life. It's like they have a story of their own. It's they have a character progression. It's,
And it gives me something to do besides just like, I know what I'm always doing every game. Like, I'm trying to get him to become a Demon Prince, regardless of the objectives. Like, I still play to the objectives, but, like, I have my own goals. There's, like, character motivation there. So
Yeah.
No, yes. Eric, what's your... Well,
sorry, right before I get into that, someone said, I'm still wondering why Mark believes the Tau lie. And I wrote back, well, he's a simple man. with simple tastes, and the greater good tastes bland. So good. Anyways, okay. So I'm wrestling for three right now. So one of them isn't really conversion. I got like a Necron Tombstalker, which is a big centipede-looking thing.
Yep.
And I have my own dynasty that I've written stories about, and I like drawing connections between it. And that one doesn't even have a strong connection, but I stole one of Mark's armigers.
Without permission.
Why would I ask permission?
Fully done model.
Yeah. It's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission.
Easier.
So I took one of his armigers, chopped it up so you can't use it anymore, and I put it on the base, and my Tombstalker is like climbing over it and like rearing its head like he just like cut through it.
Yeah.
So I really like that model, but it's not a heavy converted model.
No, but that's a good example of ruining a friendship, though.
Yes, absolutely. That's, you get a great base,
yeah,
but you've ruined category. A friendship.
You get his model, you just murder it, butcher it into many pieces.
It was a full model.
It's kind of cool.
It looks very awesome.
It's very nice.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Another one that I did is my Grandmaster in Nemesis Dread Knight.
Yeah.
That one was a huge work.
Yeah. So this model originally, it is...
I don't like it. A lot of people do, but I don't like it.
It's called the baby carrier because it looks
like... It's a meme.
Yeah. It's a giant mech, and then strapped onto the front of it is a guy sitting in like a little baby harness.
For all the same reasons that you might not like the Invictor warsuit, you would not like the Nemesis Dread Knight.
Yeah. An exposed pilot all out in the open.
Yeah, that's like people make jokes about it. Yeah. But anyways,
yep.
So I took that.
Badass, yeah.
And I don't know how many kits are in that thing. Upwards of 10.
Sure.
You even got some
terrain piece kits in there.
That's cool.
Like, so not even for terrain.
Like, absolutely. Like, yeah, no, I've just slapped so much crap on that model. Like, I wanted to like up the ornateness of it and make it like truly as what I think a Grey Knight would have. Because... like just what a like a Puritan thing, right? So like there's candles and you know, prayer beads, yeah, but much larger. It's a very actually like they like go like a sash. It's like a string from like your cuff to like the back, and on it are like these long hanging like wooden or stone tablets or whatever.
Sure.
Like I took Necron bits and I put that on in him, and he has these prayer things swinging behind these massive arms.
That's very cool.
He has two massive fires lit on his shoulders. He has a skeleton, a full body skeleton as like on the back of him. I don't know. I just recently completed him.
That's fucking cool. Like, so you made the most of the bits, like everything that you had.
He hasn't even told you the best part yet.
Which is?
What about it? What's the best part?
The whole cockpit.
Oh, yeah.
The whole fucking thing.
Whole reason. Okay.
Yeah.
So I removed the baby carrier aspect, and there's a venerable dreadnought slapped on to the front of it. Hey. So it looks much beefier in the front. And instead of an exposed gray knight, now it's just a dreadnought. And I love the idea of a dreadnought interred in this body.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's so much cooler to me than this guy who's just like, all right, I'm going to get out of my big armor now.
Yeah, he's not a mech. Someone who's more dedicated to the
exactly,
cause.
Exactly.
He's a little more committed.
Have you ever seen, do you know what the Nemesis Dreadnought, so that's the Nemesis Dreadnought
that's
right there.
That's a Gundam wing.
And this isn't Eric's, but this is kind of what he turned it
that's
into.
That's fucking awesome.
Right? So it's exposed pilot, but like a cockpit.
Yeah, and the arms are very different. Like in the regular ones, you see these big massive triangles over the shoulders that are supposed to be like moving them.
Right.
But, like I put them underneath. Yeah. It was very heavily. That's my most heavily modded
piece
ever.
I want to see
it. Looks good.
Absolutely.
Because you take all the pieces where they meant to be conventionally, you just kind of rearrange them.
Yeah, and then
the same form.
But then I've also taken trash and put it on there, like bits that you're supposed to throw out. And I'm taking little bits and putting them here. And like the more you look at this model, the more you should find. That was what I was trying to build with him.
Yes. Yeah. You want to pick it up and look at it for like
because it's my showpiece model. Like it's the biggest one in this army.
Yeah.
But my absolute favorite model is
a
Grey Knight Paragon.
Okay,
and he's got two falchions. And he's holding them above his head, and impaled on them is a Tzeentch demon.
Yeah.
What are those called?
Like
changelings?
Pink horrors,
a pink horror.
Horror.
Right. Yeah. So he's just got a horror, and it's like
both
a horror.
He's got a horror. Yeah. Horror.
Both blades are.
Hava.
Horror.
Hava.
Say horror.
Horror.
No, it's not horror. It's horror.
Hava.
Horror.
Horror.
No, that's just your weird accent.
Oh, fuck you, man. All right, keep going.
So he's got both blades, like, stabbed through the demon, and it's raised above his head.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's holding it up there, and the demon is, like, screaming in his face, and he's looking right back up at it. But I absolutely love, like, the...
Is it top heavy? Like, did you make it look so it's covering the model with a demon?
No,
like,
I have to show you. It's raised above his head, cool. You still see the entire Grey Knight model, and he's very clearly looking right at it, and the demon is looking right back at him.
That's cool. That's very cool.
That is probably my favorite model I've ever done. And that one actually had sculpting. I had to sculpt the horror's body back into it, because I didn't chop off the blades, which is like a common thing that you do.
Yeah.
You chop off blades and then put them on the ends of whatever it is you're impaling.
Yeah.
Whereas I prefer to drill through the body.
I prefer that.
And stab. I prefer to stab through the body because I can never get blades straight like you. Like Mark gets blades straight.
Having to cut it in half and then make it so it's perfect.
I just can't do it.
Yeah, sure. So hard.
It takes time for sure. Yeah.
So instead I drill through, I stab the blade through. But on this
one. It's a different amount of time. Cool.
But on this one, I couldn't do it. So I literally cut the Pink Horror in half, made a body out of like paper clips, like a lattice body, sat it on there, and then molded the rest of the body with Milliput. Like it was such a cool work. I'm so happy with that model. I'm really excited to paint him.
You just built it. Okay,
That's
such a cool idea.
You gotta start painting some of your Grey Knights.
Very creative.
He's got a couple that are like impaling demons and shit. You got one where it's like on the base and...
All of my paragons are going to have demons on their base just to show that they are, like, they're paragons. They're special. Because it's kind of hard between paladins and paragons to see which one is, like, the actual sergeant. Like,
that's the thing.
It's a sergeant equivalent.
Yeah.
But it's a little, it can be hard.
Yeah.
Like, there are some things, but people aren't looking at the number of coils on the back of the helmet.
Yeah, and it's not the same as, like, Space Marines where they have a red helmet for sergeants.
Exactly.
Like,
So instead, I'm putting demons on every single special person's base.
Which is cool. I think that's a very nice touch, because it's obviously very representative of what the fuck they do.
Absolutely.
Murder fucking demons.
And it's very, like, my story that I've been writing about them is very heavy demons all the time.
What you
constant
could do,
fighting.
As you play in the similar vein of like Mark's kind of story armies, you could, as you kill demons on table, you could add them to the bases. Or like
we don't have anyone who plays demons.
Trophy collect, you know what I mean?
Unfortunately.
That would be cool. Like if something it's like notable. Or just anything, you know. One of my favorite conversions, another one I really like in my model, it's super subtle, but it's just hilarious.
Okay.
One of my orc boys, I think it's a boner boy. No, it's a looter.
I do like looters.
His The sights on his gun were insufficient. So,
of course.
He's wearing...
For him,
he's
of course.
He's got two sights that he wears as a pair of glasses.
Oh,
so
yes.
He can never miss.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I love that.
He's always looking through the sights.
Oh,
so he doesn't miss. Easy.
Yeah. That one's classic.
Yeah, shit like that.
No, that's so good, though.
Yeah. Just adding extra shit. You know, obviously with orcs, you have the most flexibility, but... The creativity.
So should I be salty old man about orc conversions for a minute? Can I?
What? You mean
about the
easy?
Jokiness of orc conversions?
Like how open-ended it is?
Open-ended. So I think it's orcs, I'm absolutely for, do whatever you want to do with them, like convert however you want, but it still has to be done to a high level. I hate these ones where it's like people will buy a Tonka truck and then just put an orc on it. It's like, oh, come on, man.
Yeah.
Like, that's like a... It's just not...
That's not Warhammer. You're playing toy soldiers at that point.
If you buy a Tonka truck and then you're slapping on orc bits and orc guns and like, you know, maybe you take off one reel and you add treads or something. There's a level you have to reach with orcs that you can't just buy a Tonka truck and be like, look at this.
So I think you nailed it previously, is that us playing in real life, understanding that it's a fictional universe, we have the ability to look at orcs and think that is hilarious.
Yeah.
Anyone in, if you were to, however, put yourself in real life with that orc, you should never, ever have a funny feeling. You should only ever have terror or dread flow through your body. So we look at it and we think, oh, Tonka, that's like silly and funny.
Yeah.
But also in universe, that's also silly and funny.
Mm.
So put like a big fuck off truck or whatever in your models or whatever, but make it terrifying for the people who are going to be facing it. I think that's... I liked that way that you described it, is that it's okay to be silly and for us to think it's funny,
yeah.
But in universe, they are still terrifying beings, and they are not trying to be funny
like
at all.
Ramshackle truck just spewing black smoke out the end.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
Just it's so loud.
You still have to convert it. Like it can't just be a toy. I've seen squiggoths. Like the big fucking big squiggoths. And yep. It's not a squiggoth model. It's like a triceratops.
Yeah.
Or it's like something else.
And literally it's like an orc surfing on it. It's just like, come on.
And like, see, some elements, it'd
be
cool.
You say that, but Angron surfed on his ship. So precedence has been set.
I have mixed feelings. Because sometimes, like, if it's done so well, it can be a cool show model. But I mean, if it's trying to be like true to the lore, I don't, it's a bit dicey. How do you feel, Eric? Do you hate it or not?
So I like
if
I
someone
love,
just makes a sweet model, okay. Like a fucking sweet Tonka truck. It looks great. Like, do you hate that or not?
I don't know. If it is it obvious that it's Tonka?
Okay, I think that's the. I think that's.
Does
the
it look
point.
Like a children's toy?
Yeah, that's what you have to differentiate it. You have to make sure it's clearly what it represents, what it means to be.
So here's like a really silly orc model that I love. Conversion. We've talked about this before just recently. Yep. It's six orcs. All holding a piece of a rhino armor.
One of the best.
That is super silly.
Yeah. One of the best.
But that is such a fucking orky thing to do.
Yeah.
And imagine how terrifying it would be. Like, is that our rhino? Like, is that ours? Okay, don't shoot at it. Don't shoot at it. And then when it's too close, you're like, oh my God, that's an orc.
Yeah.
Like, run, right? Like, so imagine that's what it should be.
Imagine two takes on this. So obviously what orcs do is ridiculous. And we know that from being outside the game. Imagine if you're actually in the universe. There's two takes you could do it. You could be that guard looking through his binoculars and sees that weird-looking rhino coming over the hill that's moving kind of strangely. So there's the first take
and you're
is
trying
like,
to look at colors and like, is it ours? Is it theirs?
And it's like obviously sometimes separating, sometimes keeping together because they're walking as well. It looks wobbly. It doesn't look... So they think something's off. You know, as a guardsman, you think, that's really funny. But, you know, it's comical that your enemy is also doing silly shit because it's so obvious what they're doing.
Absolutely.
But the other side of it is, imagine that's like a horror movie.
Oh,
and
God.
It's like a dumb, crazy enemy that's like, there's this weird rhino coming at us. Oh, God, they're so dumb. They don't realize that we can see straight through it, but they're still coming straight at us. Like, it can take a darker element to it if you think it's real.
So this is maybe I'll grab my phone and people on Instagram will actually be up. You can grab it for me. So they can see what kind of conversion. So this is kind of the conversion I'm talking about, like. Very low effort.
You're gonna have to describe it to listeners.
Yeah, so it's literally just like a toy truck with an assault cannon on the top, and like it's just very low effort. And maybe he's just not skilled enough to do anything more.
If that was a remote control car, that'd be kind of cool. You could drive around on the tabletop.
But then you get other ones where it's like
the Necron one is amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Like that one's cool.
Yeah, that's a giant moon. That's really cool.
That's so awesome. Yeah, yeah. Like, that's a bad moon right there.
Yeah.
They literally were like, oh my God, that looks like a moon. I want it.
Yeah.
That's what's amazing about
That's a very cool conversion.
They're simple, but they're still terrifying.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. And that simplicity is a part of their terror.
They have a weird naivete.
Yes,
about
that's
them.
That's what I'm saying. So imagine it's like, like a horror movie or a Black Mirror episode or some shit where it's like, they're coming no matter what. As ridiculous as they look, they're still coming to crush our skulls, which is what's very cool because orcs are the beast. They are fucking scary. You know, if you see one, you should be appropriately afraid, you know?
Yeah.
As ridiculous as they are, which makes it fun.
Someone just asked a really good question, and I really think we should answer it.
Yep.
William said, question, is merging armies silly? I have two separate armies, Necron and Tau, that share paint and theme. Now, we've shared about how Necron can potentially get with other armies, but like I think we can really answer William's question. So first of all, you're going to be able to almost always find a story reason to be able to what you want you to do.
There are
very few things that you rules. Absolutely like should not break.
Don't
bring Sanguinius back.
You are not one of the unknown Primarchs.
Of course. Okay, you know. But Necron, now it's cool that you're asking the question anyways, because Necron do not ally with anyone. They don't. They view themselves as above any other race. And anytime you see Necron interacting with other races, it's a singular individual level doing it for personal profit and gain.
Yeah.
And if anything, like it might even be breaking the Praetorian tenets, right? Like But if you want to make your Tau and your Necron the same army, we have a very cool way for you to doing that. There are scarabs that the Necron create called Mind Shackle Scarabs. And they are known for going into organic beings, like digging into their brain and taking control over a population.
Yeah.
Sweet.
So if you were okay with this, you could very easily say, like, all my Tau have been assimilated into my Necron army because they're all being controlled by Necron mind shackle scarabs. And if you wanted to even represent this on table, there are tiny, tiny little scarabs that are the perfect size for you to model on the back of each and every Tau helmet.
Head crabs, yeah.
So what kit was that?
It's in the obelisk, which is also the Tesseract vault, but it's also on the Doomsday Ark and Ghost Ark.
Yeah, Ghost Ark, that's the one.
The Ghost Ark and Doomsday Ark is the same kit.
I think there's easier ways than head crabs. I think
for Necron and Tau?
Put it this way, simple as this, ready? They join together to destroy a greater threat.
Necron are way too proud.
You have to then invent a greater threat that would necessitate their joining forces.
But Tau don't work with people who aren't part of the greater good. Maybe that's not true.
It's 40K. So there's obviously some extremes. They do.
Necron are too proud as a people.
No matter what.
And they don't have, so you kill us. Like, there's no loss there. Like, if we don't join forces, we're all gonna die. I will not die.
Every time I've ever heard a Necron, they would way rather lose and come back than accept help from someone who they view as lesser than themselves.
Which is everything.
They view themselves as the dominators of the galaxy, and they are truly, like, for 60 million years ago, they ruled the galaxy, right? So it just I think Mind Shackles is one of the best ways to have an actual amicable friendship. Mm. Sometimes it doesn't work. Like, I truly think that there are some times where you're just like, man, like, why would Space Marines ever enter into an alliance with XYZ?
Well, it's kind of fun to invent those reasons.
I just have trouble rationalizing. Mm. And obviously, it's your lore. Do whatever you want.
Yeah.
But I do think that there are some things that are more likely to happen in the universe than others.
Oh,
and I think that, like, the Imperium ever declaring an alliance with Tau, that is very, very low likely to happen. I think Necron declaring an alliance with Tau is even less likely to happen. Mm. Like,
and before we get a negative view of saying we don't know shit about Tau, and then they list 18 different
times that they were allied with people. Yeah.
It does happen. It's just not likely.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a non-zero chance.
And like, people love writing stories about things that rarely happen. There's a trope in science fiction and fantasy that one in a million happens 9 out of 10 times. So something that is like, man, this is a 1 in a million chance.
Yeah.
9 out of every 10 stories that you read has that happen in it. They just don't tell you about the other 999,999 times.
That's why
it
you're
happens.
Reading it. To
exactly.
Get that extreme. Yeah.
And I think people lack that perspective that things in 40K that we read about are one off special scenario things, and they are not the
standard.
They're not the standard. We all know, like, generally how these races act and how they interact with each other. Yeah. We know the basic rules. It's the exceptions where they actually unify, which is very interesting stories.
Yeah.
I mean, you can probably create some very, very cool reasons for two races where that wouldn't normally get together. Like you said, headcrabs, that's a cool example. Like, could you think of a reason why, like, maybe Tyranids?
No.
Tyranids literally bugs, have right? zero reason to ally with anything.
Now the one kind of thing with Tyranids, if you really do want to get, like, oh, yeah, Tyranids and Tau, Gene Steeler cults.
Yeah.
Hey, there you go. You found a reason.
But, when I think of Tyranids, I explicitly don't think of Gene Steeler cults. Yeah. Yes.
That's how you would do it, though. You would blame it that way, yeah.
Gene Steeler cults. I love Gene Steeler cults in literally every race.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it.
I heard something so unfortunate that... So I don't know how true this is. This is another one.
Take it with a grain of salt.
Take this with a grain of salt. But so GW came out with, and I read this, somebody sent me the actual link, that we're talking about on Discord server, that it is actually more unlikely for Gene Steeler cults to happen in any race other than for humans, and it rarely happens and almost never happens. And like GW was saying this, coming up with an excuse like, just so then they didn't have to make models for all this stuff.
Oh, okay.
And, their reasoning was just, like, it was not good reasoning. Like, there's no reason.
There's two reasons that I am not super choked at that. First is that humans are the most prolific race in the galaxy.
Yes.
So my wording was weird, where I said, if Gene Steelers land on a planet, there is the highest chance that it is a human-populated planet.
It would be Orc, actually.
No, there's more humans than there are orcs in the galaxy. That's confirmed.
Okay.
There's more human planets as well. They have control of more of it.
Sure.
There's an entire segmentum that has no Xenos threat.
Okay, no, fair enough.
Right?
Okay, no,
anyways,
I'm on your side now.
They're there.
You won me over.
The other one is that originally gene stealers were created from human DNA. And I think that's a very really old thing, and I don't think it's true anymore.
Yeah, that must
be. It was originally a splice between human and Tyranid DNA. I'm fairly certain
that might be like a rogue trader type thing.
Yeah, I think that was a one-time mention that has stuck in my brain this entire time. And like, if they were to go back to that and they were like, yeah, they only were made from humans, I would be like, all right, so they only do humans.
Sure.
And I do think they are dumb reasons, and I think that the only reason they're doing it is just to avoid model lines, which is too bad.
I mean, how do you re-release every army?
Well, yeah, like it's
I don't care, do it. Like, I love it so much.
You need a whole extra store to keep the gene stealers in.
I know.
Yeah, like
that's
definitely an unreasonable request. Yeah,
it
but
is.
To shut it down, or like to think that like gene stealers only affect mining colonies.
Mm. What if they had? What if they released gene stealer kit bashing tools that you use to other regular
like
armies?
Upgrade sprues.
Some shit like that,
right?
They
I haven't seen an upgrade sprue come out in a very long time.
Mm. Gene Stealers had one for, they had an upgrade sprue for Imperial Guard.
When?
Oh, yeah, sorry, very long time, when Gene Stealers came out originally.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, I know upgrade, like, Black Templar had an upgrade sprue, right? Like, I know they exist.
Yeah, and, like, Space Marine, I know what you're saying.
It's a kit that you can't build anything out of itself. You have to combine it with another kit.
Yeah.
Like, Games Workshop, that's their intention, is that you buy two kits and put them together.
Yeah.
So, but I haven't seen them do that in a long time. But I would absolutely love if they did that with Gene Stealers. Gene Stealers. I like Xenos. I'm tired of Imperium stuff, I guess.
Xenos is fucking sick. I mean, it's more diverse. That's why
better.
It's interesting.
It's way better.
Which is cool, because like, those are probably the races that are going to get along the least. And it's the more kind of civilized races that are more likely to kind of get along. Something like Tau, Elder, or humans that have some kind of, you know, some kind of central soul and, like, you know, for the most part, want good for their own people.
A
and doing
philosophy,
what's right
an ability to understand, an empathy. Mm. They can communicate very easily between each other.
So it's very easy to kind of pair those guys together in the right scenarios. Where it becomes difficult is when you get those, Xenos races.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
How do you pair with orcs? Who would orcs pair with? I don't know. They have allies.
Orcs do, they're called freebooters, and they're mercenaries.
Oh, of course,
But an orc, like, no one in Ghazcool's warband is allying. Like, Ghazcool is not allying with anything.
No.
Right?
Allies with himself.
But an individual orc or an individual group of small orcs are definitely, like, they're seen on rogue traders. Mm. Yep. They're seen as, like, on orbital stations just being as mercenaries or bodyguards, like, anything that they want. Right, because they have a sense of individuality, but I think a lot of orcs lack that when they're in a warband.
Do you know any stories of like, say, like some kind of ragtag group of like a human and an orc in a fucking tower, like going and doing a mission or some shit? Sounds kind of cool.
I don't know one. I bet there's a lot written about it.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But
Woody just said,
not very.
Woody just commented on the Instagram Live, and he said, "Primaris gene stealers."
Hey,
he knows how to get Mark's goat.
Uh-huh. Tune in next week.
The best word ever. Holy
Primaris are real. Space not real. Primaris are not real. Space Marines are real. That was the meme.
Holy.
Yeah. I don't know. I like conversions. They're fun.
I love conversions.
Yeah, it's one of the funnest things. It's pure creativity. And it's so scary because you realize you're hacking out your pieces, and if you fuck it up, you've just fucked everything.
No, that was
you get these elements where I need to cut this arm exactly, and if I don't, like, this whole thing is ruined, and I've lost all my money.
Yeah. So I started that big Nemesis Dreadknight model. Yeah. So you buy that model, it's like what, $60 to $80. You buy the Venerable Dreadknight, it's like another $50-$60. I'm like, all right, I am $100 deep in this, and I'm not even done buying. But also, if I fuck up one of these cuts, I'm essentially going to double my price.
It's scary.
In this one model. It took me so long to make like 3 cuts.
Yeah.
Like, it literally sat in a box until I was like, I just have to do it.
Fuck, it's going to cut the fucking thing. Yeah.
I have been building and adding to that thing for probably over a year.
Holy shit. That's really cool.
And I just recently got to the point where I was like, okay, like, no more adding. Yeah. I'm priming it. It's done.
You're out of ideas. For the most
part. Even out of ideas. I'm happy with where it is.
I have the same problem. I can infinitely work on a model. I can always think of one little thing to add, one little thing to change. Oh, it doesn't look quite perfect. there's always one more thing. It's insane.
I agree.
It's also scary when you're fine tip brushing text. You're trying to write the tiniest of words. That's super easy to fuck up. And that's really, when you do it once and then you have to do a second or third layer, that's when it's scary. Because you realize you have to start all over again if you fuck it up. So it's like, you just like the most steady hand in the world. Mark's really good at that. You've got a lot of good text on your shit.
Years of clean living gives you a steady hand.
Steady hand.
Number one.
Number one surgeon. Yakuza boss. Not bad heart, dead. That's one of my favorite things in the entire Office series. Oh, is that holy?
Oh my god!
Anything else we got in this episode?
I got nothing else really.
Dylan, anything else you want to share?
Go ahead and unsubscribe to the podcast. No. Go ahead and unsubscribe to the Patreon. Join Big D's War Band. Yeah, we're going to be crushing these Warhammer nerds. They're a bunch of bookworms and fucking librarians, so it should be pretty easy. You can have a chopper in each hand, each foot, each ear, whatever the fuck you need. We'll jump on the board and we'll just fuck these guys up. So it's free. It's going to unsubscribe. Send me money. Send me more money.
So it's not coming back.
Now it's not free.
I mean,
at least I'm upfront with people that I'm scamming
them. No, it's free to join the war band. Send me money to come back in the podcast to promote the war band. That's the cap. But thanks to fucking Cookie.
Yeah.
Thumbs up, bud. Bought me groceries
Thank
for
you,
a week.
Cookie
thanks,
fart.
Dude. Yeah. I've been blown away by like the last 2 weeks of
the support has been insane recently.
Yeah, like it's very nice. Like even though we're all having kind of financial difficulties and everything, like our Patreon membership has not dropped. Our Patreon new people is still
That's really encouraging to see. Yeah.
Well, like you said, it's like it's a dollar, right?
So, and that's it. Like everyone can afford a dollar,
and you're doing the right thing. Like oh god, how much entertainment and hours you get out of this? And we're all sitting at home now, so now's more of a time than ever to be appreciative.
Yeah. So thanks for supporting us.
Girlfriend just hopped on our Instagram live.
Oh,
get out of
shit.
Here, Megan.
We'll be what home up, in 20 minutes.
Yeah, I'm coming home soon. Cook dinner for me, please.
G'day, Megan.
Please. I'm so hungry.
She just leaves a bad review.
Yeah.
She's so funny. That's right. She left a bad review.
You idiot.
Fucking idiot.
You misogynistic asshole.
Just for people who think they are going to be funny, don't leave us a bad review. It does actually.
Oh, yeah, that's true. No. No.
I know it's funny to joke about, but don't actually.
No, those are very real, and it actually hurts us a lot to get those.
Yeah. Leave the bad reviews on my Warband's fucking thing, all right? You can shit on Warhammer all you want. That is the place for it, all right?
Yeah. So thanks everyone for your support. If you guys want to hear a specific guest or a specific thing, let us know and give us money, and maybe we'll make it happen. If not, business as usual.
She told me to starve.
Probably deserve it.
Can she hear me?
She can.
I'll whisper then.
Hi, Megan.
that bitch.
Whoa. That's my girlfriend you're talking about, Mark. You want to square up? Let's go outside.
You know, Megan, you could use
our girlfriend.
Megan could
Lorehammer's girlfriend.
She could threaten bad reviews to get at you.
She absolutely
could. Do this cook for dinner tonight. I'm going to make so many fake accounts.
Wow. Oh, don't do that, Megan, please.
Ideas. You have control, Megan.
Cool. Well, thanks everyone for listening. It was fun to have you on again, Dylan.
Yeah. Thank you, Dylan, for coming. It was enjoyable.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, but also, thank you.
Laser blast, guys!
Thank you also to everyone who was hanging out with us on Instagram Live while we were doing this.
Yeah.
That's
something different.
Yeah, probably something we'll have to take a look at doing again. Maybe in the future, potentially.
Maybe once we figure out how to get our video down pat, which I think I know the solution now.
Yeah, get other people, pay people to do it for us.
Well, not pay.
Oh.
But I think I do know the solution. I'll tell you after. Yeah. But once we get that down, I know I want to try to start doing Twitch.
Twitch streams.
But one step at a time. First, I just want to get our YouTube channel kind of going with video, and then I'll take the next.
Absolutely.
So
can't bite off more than we can chew. So.
Exactly.
We're working on big things for you boys.
Yeah, exactly.
And girls.
Exciting times. It's gonna be a good year.
Yeah.
Year of content creation, man. It's good times. It's good times. Yeah.
And this is the time where content creators are gonna flourish.
Yep.
So I'm really excited to see what's gonna happen. Well, thank you for joining us for another episode of Lorehammer Lockdown with Dylan Part Dose.
Oh shit. Mm-hmm. It's another motherfucking podcast.
Dropping like a bomb cast.
And we'll see you guys later.
See you guys.